السلام عليكم. على محمد وعلى محمد صلوات. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد. ان شاء الله. Get started shortly. I think there's going to be more people. There usually is much more than this, inshallah. I missed the last 2 days, went to a different madrasa and then helping with the Sabah school, but I understand MashaAllah, Allah Mahdi, Ajatul Islam al Muslimin, Allah Mahdi, has been giving us great lectures. Tonight is the big night, Asura. The night. Tomorrow is Asura, so inshallah, let's pray for all of those in need of prayer. Let's pray for each other. Let's pray for the people who are oppressed, the people that all of the Shahada Karbala fought and became Shaheed for. So inshallah, remember that in your dua tonight. Let's see where the people are. Kumail, would you like to read the Quran? Are there people in the hallway that I have to go get? Or let's see. Sisters, are there any more sisters coming? Are they in the hallway? Ya Allah. Sisters are coming? Or no? So the program for tonight, inshallah, might be slightly different because we have a fundraising component, fundraising. That means you have to give your funds, and I'll raise my hands and say thank you. Last year, English got $0. So for month of Ramadan, the Urdu side collected approximately $80,000. The Farsi side collected $30,000-$40,000. Arabic collected multi-$1,000. English, zero. So I was in charge of English. So inshallah, today we're going to collect more than zero. That's our goal. Of course, during the month of Ramadan, we had kids and, you know, youth, so no one really brought their money that day. But today we have youth, we have adults. We're going to make some money today. I'm going to tell you about that after we ask Brother Kumail to read the Holy Quran for us. Let's say a salawat for Brother Kumail.
Allahumma. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والتين والزيتون وطور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين. لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم. ثم رددنا أسفل سافلين. إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون. فما يكذبك بعد بالدين. أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين. سلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد. Thank you.
So this is Surah At-Teen. In the name of Allah, the All Beneficent, the All Merciful. This is the translation. By the fig and the olive. By Mount Sinai. By this secure town. We certainly created man in the best forms, then we relegated him to the lowest of the low. Except those who have faith and do righteous deeds, there will be an everlasting reward for them. So what makes you deny the retribution? Is not Allah the fairest of all judges? Salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Fajr al-Ahmad, he has referred to this verse multiple times in our majlis. And so inshallah, we can hopefully memorize this all together, the whole surah. I think we should still wait. There were so many more people. That must be the most people today. Well, I can start with the fundraising because that's not really the major part of the night anyway, while we wait for the people to come. So Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In each room tonight they're going to be doing fundraising just because tonight there's the most population. We have maybe close to 1,500 people here tonight, mashallah, because of the significance of the night. And this is an opportunity for the board of directors of Sabah to raise some money for operations. So let me tell you a little bit about Sabah. Sabah actually is very organized, and actually some of the other Islamic centers have asked and are interested in copying our organizational structure. We have a board of trustees who actually they have 6 elected members for 12-year terms. So it's similar to a professional board of trustees, and they deal with long-term goals and plans, making amendments to our constitution and our bylaws. We also have a board of directors, which includes 9 members, and they're elected for every 2-year term. And each population has a specific amount of members. For example, the Urdu-speaking population gets 4 members, Arabic population 2, English 2, Farsi 2, and that equals 9. So it's actually a good representation of our population. And we also have a board of advisors where they're senior members of the community. They've been asked by the board of trustees to advise both the board of trustees and the board of directors. People probably on the board of advisors have served once before on the board of directors or are quite active in the community. It's a good way for members, if you're interested, any of you, to apply for these positions. If you're interested in changing things that you see in the center, and or adding any new programs. We have Urdu programs, we have Farsi programs, English and Arabic programs. It's a multicultural center, which is actually quite unique. Some other places that you go to are catered towards one population. This is particularly good for youth because we can learn what it means to grow up in a Muslim ummah, and that's a great opportunity. Programs that we have here, we have a health clinic, we have Ramadan programs, we have a full-time Sunday school, we have Dua Kumails on Thursday night, we have Dua Tavassul on Tuesday night, we have Friday prayers on Friday, of course. We have a youth program every Saturday night. We have burial services. We do have a resident alim, Sayyid Abidi, who helps with marriages, divorce, wills. Full-time services are here. Many of you already know that, but some of the members are new here. So, and we offer camps, we offer carnivals, and we have majlis for all of the major events during the Islamic calendar. So this is actually a great opportunity for all of us. I'm not sure if you all know, we have they have declared us the largest physical building of any Islamic SEAL organization in the United States. Sabah has a mirror image over there right next to us, which we rent. The same amount of space that you see that we're using for these 4 halls, we rent out, and most of our income comes from rental, but a major part also comes from your contributions. We still have approximately 3.13 million left on our loan to the bank for the Sabah. And we have personal loans to people for approximately $130,000. And what we're interested in raising, and one of the most important projects that we're interested in, is a $150,000 construction project to redesign Sabah for our school, as well as to bring it up to code for our gatherings. We have engineers, we have architects, structural engineers, civil engineers, architects who have been working on this for years. We have gotten the permit from the city of San Jose, and we have a short time limit when we're going to be able to complete the building. If we don't raise the $150,000, we lose the permit and we have to start from square one, and it will take another couple of years to do that. So really, one of our major contributions is for this $150,000. Unfortunately, given the economic downturn, our direct deposits are down by 10%. Our cash and personal check donations are down by 8%. Credit card donations are down by 3%. So it's difficult, but if there's any time that you would like to give, it's the best time is Muharram with a niyat, for Imam Hussein, Hazrat Abbas, Bibi Zainab. If you were in the other halls, they're going to say that the target for raising tonight is $172,000. So we actually raised approximately $150,000 during the month of Ramadan, mashallah. So actually we can make that target tonight, $172,000. I'd like to get some money from the English-speaking population. What I'm going to ask for particularly tonight is about the Shaba school. As you heard from Brother Rakhshan Daru, starting actually August 25th, 2010 is the first day of the full-time Shaba Academy. And we are going to start from grades pre-kindergarten to third grade, and we need money for supporting children, buying books, the construction. We were going to change this hall behind us into five classrooms plus a science lab and offices, changing the office space over there into a full-fledged gym, which also members will be able to use. So think about that. I won't take up more of your time, but there will be by the door flyers that you can actually fill out if you're interested in contributing, and particularly if think about the school, if you have kids, youngsters or friends who are interested in growing up in an Islamic environment. I think that that's one of the most important things to be successful if done correctly, and that's critical. So that's why we want to kind of raise money and in fact get your ideas to do that, particularly in this society. It's getting a lot more difficult for our youth to traverse the difficulties of this society. So we want to try to offer them an Islamic alternative if we do it the right way. So inshallah, think about raising money for that. Is there any questions about the fundraising? There's supposed to be some time for questions or concerns. Anybody have any questions about that? Yes, sir. Right. I know some companies have done that. Maybe I can talk to you afterwards and see if we can set that up. Yes, I believe that I have seen at least another brother who's done that, and that probably could be set up, particularly for the school or just in general? In general, yes, that's been done before, at least, and I'm sure we can, I can talk to you afterwards and hopefully we can set that up. Any questions from the sister's side? Anybody? Sorry, problem. Okay. Well, if there's no questions, then inshallah, you have a question? Go ahead. Brother, you raised your hand? Well, that's a good question that I'll leave for Hajj Allah to answer in his speech. If there's any more questions about the school or fundraising, we can take that now. But if not, anybody prepared any poetry or any saying that they want to say about Imam Hussein? Any of the youth or anybody prepared any poetry? Any of the sisters prepared any poetry? Any sayings they want to say about Ashura, Imam Hussein, Bibi Zainab?
They're both here.
Okay, if no one's ready for that, then inshallah, let's welcome Mawlana al-Mahdi, inshallah, with a loud salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. He's going to continue his generous lectures. love in Islam and practical points on how to be a good Muslim like Imam Hussein and Ahlul Bayt. InshaAllah.
Just to give you guys a chance again to ask a couple of questions, you can do that for 5 to 7 minutes if you have any questions regarding the subject that I've been speaking. And if I could answer, I would, you know, be more than happy. You guys, you know, what do you understand, like the other day I was doing. Your questions are pretty hard. My young brother here is asking, how can love be a weapon? Love is when you have an intense longing and yearning for someone, you will be willing to do anything for that person. But if the person or the object of love is not Allah and somebody who is misguided, then they can use your love towards their gain, and they could actually misuse the love that you have for them. That's why you see people who commit crimes. When Amir al-Mu'mineen was martyred in the mosque, one of the things that Ibn Muljim was attracted to was a promise of a woman that she would marry him. That's one of the narrations. Bani Umayya enticed a woman to approach Ibn Muljim and say, if you do this heinous act of assassinating Amir al-Mu'mineen, then I'll marry you. Similar situation for Imam Hassan. The wife who gave poison was enticed and told that if she does give poison to Imam Hassan, then she would be married to the son of Muawiyah, probably, I think. And if you have love for money and it's not directed, it's not controlled by the laws prescribed by Allah, then however human laws you can put in place, you know, people will find a hole and then and deceive other people, like we have seen in the financial market here. We are mourning here the event of Karbala, and this happens to be the 9th of Muharram, the Tashura. And tomorrow is the day of Ashura, which was a very important day in the history of Islam, when the grandson of the Holy Prophet was martyred. And not only he was martyred, but his children and his companions were also martyred. And before this fight would begin, the enemies of Islam had made sure that the family of the Holy Prophet could not get even water for 3 days. So this is a very huge event, and I can understand why Maulana has invited you, because when we see the love for Ahlul Bayt, if we have it in our hearts, and then we make our pain and our mourning into that ocean of love, and that gives us a lot of comfort in our hearts to know that the grandson of the Holy Prophet who was the decisive proof of Allah on earth, who was Hujjatullah, he also had to go through trials and tribulations that were so intense and so hard, but he stood on the ground of righteousness and did not move from that ground, fearing for from the calamities, and becomes a source of inspiration, and also it eases our pain. No, it is not several paths to one destination. Hazrat Isa, Prophet Jesus, is one of the prophets of Islam, and likewise Prophet Moses is one of the prophets of Islam, and they all brought the message of Islam to mankind, and they were trying to ensure that humanity is directed towards God. But in the process there was corruption in the faith, in the religion, by those who were around, or they were after the Prophet's life itself. So you could find some similarities, but there are very huge differences in terms of belief. If there's no other question, then I would begin my talk. Anybody? Recite a loud salawat. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصي نعماءه العاتون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون الذي لا يدركه بعد الحمم ولا يناله غوث الفتن الذي ليس لصفته حد محدود ولا ناس موجود ولا وقت مادود ولا عجل مبدود فترى الخلائق بقدرته ونشر الرياح برحمته اللهم أفض صلة صلواتك وسلامة تسليماتك على أفضل التعينات المفادة من العماء الرباني وآخر التنزلات المضافة إلى نوع الإنساني كان الله ولم يكن معه شيء ثاني محصي لعوالم حضرات الخمس في وجوده وكل شيء احسيناه في امام المبين الرسول النبي المكي الخرشي التهامي صاحب لواء الحام ومقام المحمود ابي القاسم محمد الحميد صل على وعلى أخيه وابن عمه وسهره وخليفته من بعده قائد الغر المهجلين ياسب الدين إمام المتقين أمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب اللهم صل على وعلى ابنته الطاهرة الحوراء العنسية الراضية المرضية الشفية اليوم الجزاء فاطمة الزهراء سلام الله عليها وعلى شفتي رحمة وسيدي الشباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين اللهم صل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد وحسن بن علي وحجة القائم المنتظر المهدي اللهم صل على محمد حججك على عبادك ومنائك في بلادك اللهم سهل منحجهم وأجل في فرجهم وجعلنا من محبيهم ومواليهم وشيتهم ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من يومنا هذا إلى قيام يوم الدين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم I begin in the name of Allah, the all beneficent and all merciful. I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah has granted us this tawfiq that we have gathered here tonight to celebrate and remember and mourn the sacrifice of the leader of martyrs, سيد الشهداء إمام حسين. Imam Hussein and Ashura, these are the defining moments in the history of Islam. After the effort of 124,000 prophets toiling to ensure that mankind is guided towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the final prophet arrives and the final prophet brings the final book, Quran. And once the prophet leaves this world, within few years, the same religion, which was the religion for the oppressed people, which was the religion for mustaz'afin, which was the religion for those who are seeking justice, which was the religion for those who wanted to traverse the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who wanted to seek perfection and who wanted to seek the true meaning of this life, that religion was on a brink of corruption by those munafiqeen, by those hypocrites who penetrated into the ranks of Islam. And when they, being enemies openly of Islam, could not destroy Islam, they penetrated, they accepted faith apparently, and then entered into the ranks of Islam, into the fold of Islam, and then started doing their planning to overtake. And they were quite successful, had it not for Imam Hussein, Sayyid al-Shuhada, that he would have given this great sacrifice, Islam would have been gone completely into those who had nothing to do with Islam. And this tragedy is reminded so that the cause of Imam Hussein is remembered amongst us, which is the cause to stand up for righteousness, to stand up for principles, and to stand up for your true object of love, which is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Had it been only apparent love of this dunya, then this would not have been, this would not have happened in the first place. This commitment of Imam Hussein and his companions teaches us that if we truly love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning we truly love righteousness, then we will face the challenges that are bound to come with patience. And even if our life is taken away in this path, then we will accept that to be the part of our destiny without complaining. And this gives us huge strength to meet the challenges that the life has for us. And also, it also reminds us the spirit of the life that we live in and the life that we are going to see in the future, meaning after this life, the afterlife. Because we believe that a very short period of our life is spent in this world, which is a place of trial and test. And based upon our actions, there is a life which is unlimited, which is going to continue forever, awaiting us in the hereafter. And therefore, this becomes a very important means through which you can ensure that your conduct is not deflected by the deceptions of shaitan. Because you don't feel that this is the only life I am going to live. I am accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have to face what I have done in this life. And therefore, even when there is nobody to watch me, I will be watchful of my own self. And I will ensure that my self is not deceived by the deceptions of shaitan. The topic of our discussion, as you are all aware, was Al-Hub fil Islam, love in Islam. And we have attempted our very best to simplify the concepts and present in front of you all to show that Islam is a religion of love. Islam believes that the beginning of this cosmos, everything that the Creator created, was out of His love. And therefore, love is the fundamental source through which this creation has come into existence. And then on the other side, we have also discussed whether love is an intrinsic property within us. Are we supposed to have this in ourselves, or it is a cultural thing, or it is a biological thing? We also talked about that. It might have those factors, but the fundamental factor is that it is intrinsic in our own being. It is intrinsic in our own existence. And then we also discuss how, if love is there, then how are we supposed to know whom to love? Or we could just fall in love in anything we want. And we said, no, we have to exactly know whom we should love. Otherwise, if our object of love is the desires of this world, then we have truly missed the true object of love, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these apparent things of this life are like clouds which cover the light of the sun, and no one should be deceived by these clouds into thinking that there is no sun behind these clouds. And similarly, if we can clear the dust, and if we clear the desires of the love of this world, which is only temporary, which is perishable, none on this earth has lived forever, and none is going to live forever who is going to come in the future. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is non-perishable. Everything else will taste death. It's very clear in Quran also. And so, what essentially we are trying to do is that the love we have for Allah, and if we ourselves are like a drop of water, then we want to associate ourselves not to the ground on which the drop falls and then it disappears into the ground, or falls on the ground and is evaporated. It does not have its own identity. But if this drop of water wants a life, an immortal life, then this drop of water should fall in the ocean. The moment this drop of water falls in the ocean, then this drop of water is no more water. It is part of the ocean, and it is going to last forever. And similarly, if our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love of Allah being ocean, and if we can purify ourselves and then present ourselves to this ocean of love and love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we are bound to not only have good life in this life, but our hereafter also going to be, we are going to be successful in the hereafter. And we said that Allah, when Allah says that I loved and I created, then Allah has also mentioned clearly in Quran that if you love me, O people, if you love me, tell O Muhammad. Allah is telling to the Prophet of Allah, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. If you truly love Allah, then follow the Prophet of Allah. This is the ordinance or command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is being delivered by the Prophet of Allah, saying, if you truly love Allah, then you should follow the Prophet of Allah. And then we have also discussed how this love descends from Allah to the Prophet of Allah and to Ulil Amr. And then we described in detail who the Ulil Amr are. We are going into the same direction, but like Brother Shahriyar was also mentioning, we have to get some realistic pointers from this whole discussion, how we can apply this in our life. And we said that if our love is truly for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and through Allah we love His Prophet and His Ahlul Bayt, and through that same love we love our parents, we have respect for our parents, we love our parents, we care about them, then if this is for Allah, then this love is going to last, my dear brothers and sisters. But if this love is only an emotional love, then as the emotion disappears, the love will also disappear. Or we will start into thinking that our parents owe us everything that we have gotten from them. Whereas if we love them for the sake of Allah, then even if our parents deprive us of what was due to us, still we will love our parents. Because it is an order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we love our parents. So if it trickles down from the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is going to transform how you see this love in your life. If you love your spouse for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is going to completely transform how you would treat your spouse. And if you had only loved her for her looks, then as the looks starts evaporating, as time passes, then that love is also going to fade away. But if this love was for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran, there are verses of Quran which says that we instill love in this relationship of spouses, wife and husband, we instill that love. It is Allah who instills that love. So if the love is, trickling down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into our relationships in our lives, then that love is not only going to be not a perishable love, it is going to be an everlasting love, and every moment of life we are going to cherish that love, and we are also going to gain sawab from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how it is going to transform how we look at things, my dear brothers and sisters. And we have to ensure we understand this. Love of Allah equates to the love of Ahlul Bayt, meaning being obedient to Ahlul Bayt. And like I have mentioned before also, love of Ahlul Bayt invites us towards action. Because Ahlul Bayt do not want anything for themselves. They do not possess their own existence. They have, submerged themselves, what is called fana, into the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where they do not possess their own existence. They are only reflection of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Ahlul Bayt has said that we are Babullah. We are the doors to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want the ma'rifah, if you want to know Allah, this is the way you come to. Ahlul Bayt would take you towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because they themselves do not have any existence of their own. They are the medium, like one of the brothers was saying, which truly takes somebody who is on the lowest of the low level to the highest of the high level. They become the medium between these two extremes. So we have to love Ahlul Bayt, and as a result of that love for Ahlul Bayt, we have to follow the Sharia of Islam, and then it completely changes our, perspective of life. Then Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. was asked by the Prophet of Allah that, "O Ali, how did you find Fatima?" This is the after the marriage, the Prophet of Allah meets his brother and he's talking to the groom about the bride. And the answer of Imam Ali is recorded in history, which says that, "I have found Fatima to be my helper in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." This is the purpose of a spouse, my dear brother and sister. To be the helper in knowing and worshipping Allah. Not to be someone who takes away the love of Allah that we have and makes us the slaves of this world, the slaves of this dunya. And there are many riwayat, I didn't get a chance to bring them up, which mentions the same point. Zawjatu su, you know, a spouse, a sinful spouse, not only is himself or herself is a sinner, but would also influence his or her partner away from this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, we always find this being in, you know, the question of who are we responsible for, you know. Even when we go to the Hauza, one of the teachers I was asking, you know, what is my duty, what is my mas'uliyah, what am I supposed to do? He said, Quran does not say anything, but it says, "Hu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara." Save yourselves and your families from the fire of hell. This is your duty. So the primary duty of all of us is to save ourselves and our families from the fire of hell. Instead of thinking about others. Well, if we have gone past that phase, well and good. Then we should reach out to others and invite to them. But if our iman, if our faith itself is shaky and we cannot understand and if we cannot comprehend and if we have not done enough research and if we have not purified our soul by the acts of worship, then by merely interacting with those who are in love with this world would influence us and we will go on their side. So we have to be careful in choosing those whom we accompany, in choosing those who are influencing our children, in choosing who our spouse should be. If we are only making the criteria to be the looks or the wealth or anything that belongs to this dunya, then that is going to quickly evaporate, go away, and then life would become hell. Because we got into this relationship for the wrong reasons. If we get into this relationship for the right reasons, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has prescribed, then it is going to transform your life. Even if you get a spouse who is ignorant, even if you get a spouse who does not respect you, then you will be patient. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there would be room for reconciliation. Even if the spouse is seeing that she is being rude or he is being rude, but still the other person is trying to be nice, trying to invite him towards Allah, trying to do everything that is right for her, and being patient in this process, and also praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah gives guidance to this person, then, you know, there will be a hope, there is a light of hope that things would change. But on the other hand, if this love was purely based on some material things, and things have changed, the variables of life have changed, the equation has changed, and suddenly everything will turn upside down, and the same spouse feels like you're living with hell, you know. So Islam is a religion which promotes purity and reform in the society. Islam does not only talk about individuals, but it says that you individually reform yourself, and as a result, collectively, the society would be reformed. Islam does not promote the idea of just being self-oriented and mean and, you know, just get everything that you think is, you deserve. You don't even deserve that. You think that you deserve, and then you go out and you trample the rights of others to acquire that thing. So these are all the, benefits. If we truly love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we truly feel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is closer to us than our regular reign, and we can feel the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala around us, then we are not bound to commit any sin, even when we have all the opportunity and there is no one to watch us. So this is how this love, or this, should create that light within your heart. And if it is not happening, then there is something wrong, and that something wrong is the hardness of your soul, which was caused due to the sins that we have committed. So we have to seek forgiveness of Allah, we have to seek tawbah, and then we have to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He puts us back on track. And unless and until we do that, and unless and until we do deep reflection on which side we are on, we are not going to move forward in the direction which Allah wants us to go, and in the direction which Ahlul Bayt wants us to go. One of the litmus tests that Ahlul Bayt has prescribed for us to know if we truly love Allah is that if you should see within yourself, what are your, inclinations. Do you love those whom Allah loves? Do you practice the commandments of Allah with anticipation and happiness, or it has become a liability on your soul? You're so tired of doing this. Why do I have to do this? Why do I have to just get up, and why do I have to pray? Then we have to warn ourselves that no, these are the deceptions of shaitan, who is infiltrating our mind and trying to corrupt our mind to take us away from the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please share a salawat. And on the same lines, I have few, please recite a salawat and come forward so that the brothers who are going to come later, can join us. Please recite a loud salawat. So, the riwayah that I wanted to mention here is a riwayah from Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salatu wa salam. He mentions this to one of his companions, that halid deen illa al-hub, is religion anything else than love? And then the Imam continues and says, don't you see the statement of Allah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, in kuntum tuhibbuna Allah fattabi'uni, if you love Allah then follow the Prophet of Allah. And then Allah is going to forgive you. And also another verse of Quran, here the Imam mentions, حَبَّبَ عَلَيْكُمْ الْإِيمَانَ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ, meaning Allah has endeared faith to you and made it appealing in your heart. حَبَّبَ عَلَيْكُمْ الْإِيمَانَ. So not only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instilled love in our hearts, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also made faith, iman, attractive to us. So at the first instance, when you see, you will be attractive to iman. Even those people who denied the prophethood of Rasulullah in Medina, when they found out, they were the first one who would always come to the Quraysh and say, wait until a prophet comes, because we are waiting for the prophet to come. But when the prophet finally arrived, and they knew that this was the true prophet, but then they denied. Why did they deny? Because the prophet was not from their clan, the prophet was not from their religion, and therefore they denied. And therefore Quran says, there's a verse of Quran which says, O prophet, these people know you like they know their own children, and yet they are denying you. So Iman in itself is attractive to us, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in this verse of Quran. Please recite the salawat. And then another verse the Imam mentions, قَالَ يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ حَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ. Not only that, he loves those who migrate towards him. So we have to migrate. It's a journey, my dear brothers and sisters, that we migrate towards Allah and His Prophet. The way we have migrated, a lot of us, from one country to another country for the sake of education, for the sake of opportunity, for the sake of, you know, other financial and other, you know, advantages that we could have, we have migrated. And when we migrated, we have put in lots and lots of effort into building our career as immigrants here. And sometimes this is missing out on those people who are born and raised in the same country. A lot of you are born and raised in this country. You have to appreciate what your parents have gone through to come here. And when they came, there was not an Islamic center, there was no mosque, there was no place where we could congregate, there was no sign of religion anywhere, and yet they migrated, and then they first strived very hard to ensure that they seek quality education. They got quality education, they got into businesses, and then they saved money, and they had some decent lifestyle, and then they also started a mosque, and mashallah, now they are starting a school, as you are all aware. This Islamic center is like, it's an amazing blessing, my dear brothers and sisters, that we have. And now the community is embarking on this project of starting a full-time school, which should be, you know, welcomed by all of you, not only by words, but also by writing checks to ensure that they can, you know, support and create this infrastructure where we could have the best possible life that we can get from this country, and also the best possible spiritual nourishment for our children, which is absolutely necessary for their faith. Otherwise, they will not have Iman. They could be the best doctors on earth, they could be the best engineers on earth, they could be the best leaders on earth, but if they do not possess Iman, faith in their hearts, nothing is going to mean anything after this life ends. Please recite a salawat. So, here also, the Imam continues then and says, فَقَالَ أَدِّينُ هُوَ الْحُبْ. Religion is love. And then the Imam turns it around and says, وَالْحُبُّ هُوَ الدِّينُ. And love is religion. You know, my dear brothers and sisters, these are the riwayah from authentic sources that I am mentioning it to you. That deen is love. It is essentially love. That's what Imam is saying. And Imam is saying, love itself is essentially deen. They are inseparable. This is how close deen and love is, my dear brothers and sisters. Please recite the salawat. I will move forward and show you another riwayah here. Please recite the salawat. Here, this is also a riwayah from Kafi, where the Imam has been asked, سَأَلْتُهُ أَنْ أَفْزَلِ مَا يَتَقَرَّبُ بِهِ الْعِبَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. What is the best act that would become a means of getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Imam says, قَالَ أَفْزَلُ مَا يَتَقَرَّبُ بِهِ الْعِبَادُ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ تَاعَتُهُ. And not only ta'atu Allah wa ta'atu rasulihi wa ta'atu ulil amr. The best act which would make you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is obedience to Allah, is obedience to Rasulullah, and is obedience to ulil amr. And then the riwayah goes further, the Imam says, Khala Abu Jafar says, Hubbuna imanun wa bughzuna kufrun. Our love is iman and our hate is kufr. Our love, the love of Ahlul Bayt, is faith, and the hate for Ahlul Bayt is disbelief, is kufr. So now if you see that how love is associated with iman and how Ahlul Bayt are saying that our love is a means of iman. If we possess the love of Ahlul Bayt, it means we have iman. And what does the iman demand? Ita'a, obedience. Like the Imam said in the statement before, please recite a salawat. So when we talk about wilaya being part of faith, part of iman, sometimes the brothers ask, why is wilaya part of iman? If somebody just accepts, and say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah, he should be fine. But Quran itself says, O Prophet, these Arab have come and they are saying that we are witness that you are the Prophet of Allah. Tell them that they are liars. You are the Prophet of Allah, but they are the liars. The iman, faith has not even come into their hearts. They are still on the boundaries of Islam. So if somebody just literally, verbally accepts Islam, then he does not possess iman. Iman demands action, my dear brothers and sisters. And similarly, the love of Ahlul Bayt, because the love of Ahlul Bayt is iman, it also demands action from us. And the action being that we reform our life, we reflect upon what we are doing, where we are going, who our true God is. Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our true God, or our wealth is our true God, or our power is our true God, or our wives are our true God? And we have to ensure that we understand this correctly. Otherwise, in the sakarat, in the last moment when a person is dying, ulama say, in the last moment of when a person dies, there is a possibility that he will die as a faithless person, a person without iman. He would die as a kafir. And when they are asked why, they say that during the sakarat, the last moment when we are arriving at our death, there is a point after which we can start seeing the reality which is around us, which is far more greater than what we can see from our physical eyes. And then we realize that we are definitely now going to die. And at that point we realize that we are going to die, and that means we will have separation from the object of love that we had for all our life in this world, that being our money, our property, our children, whatever that was, other than Allah. And then we also see that the Malakul Maut is approaching us, and it is Allah who has sent Malakul Maut to us. And at that point, we will decide that how can this God be so cruel to me that He is separating from my beloved, and then they will become kafir at that point. So we have to reform ourselves in this life and reflect ourselves and remind ourselves of the life of this world and the nature of this world, which is perishable, which is going to go away, and that makes the life very easy. If we possess money which is more than we could have, then it is only amana. It is only a trust that Allah has given you so that it goes to those who are more deserving. It does not mean everything that you make is yours. Similarly, if you have knowledge from other than others, you know, more than others, then you have to share that knowledge. I mean, all these character traits are towards reforming ourselves. And even if a person does not believe in God, you bring and tell him what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us, and he would agree that what you are doing in this life will make you a very nice and a very law-abiding citizen of any country that you live in. Because you are not trying to deceive anybody, you are not trying to trick into deceiving anybody, you are not lying, and you are not committing crimes which are a menace to the society, and you are not consuming drugs and alcohol, which has become a huge liability for all the nations. This is what Islam also wants, my dear brothers and sisters. This is good for us in this life, and this is going to be useful in the hereafter. So this love should emanate these virtuous qualities within us. And if it is not doing so, then it is merely a concept that we have acquired into our intellect, and it has not been inscribed on the slate of our hearts, and therefore we don't believe in those concepts. We just, you know, keep thinking about it. They are very good ideas, but we are not truly believing it as we believe in ourselves that we are living and we are breathing and we are alive. Please recite a salawat. So this love, you know, so the end result of the love of Ahlul Bayt has to drive this in ourselves to strive to acquire virtuous qualities. And there are a couple of more verses and riwayas which I would try to cover tonight to reinforce the same point. But the idea is the same, that we are trying to know that if we truly love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we should truly be obedient and following the Prophet of Allah and the Ahlul Bayt, who are the Ulul Amr. Please recite the salawat. Another riwayah that I have, it was interesting, so I brought to present, is from Hazrat Musa, Moses. رُوَيَ عَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَلَىٰ قَالَ لِمُوسَىٰ. It has been narrated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked Musa, هَلْ عَمِلْتَ لِي عَمَلًا خَتٌ. Did you do any act for me, O Musa? It was for me. So obviously Musa is the Prophet of Allah. He had been inviting so many people towards guidance. He had been worshipping. He had been fasting. And his day would begin with this fire that he had in his heart to make sure other people are guided towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking Hazrat Musa, what did you do, Musa, for me? So Musa goes and gives the obvious answers. He says, قَالَ سَلَّيْتُ لَكَ. I prayed for you, Allah. I was always in prostration for you, Allah. وَصُمْتُ وَتَصَدَّقْتُ, I fasted for the sake of you, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have given money in charity for your sake, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَذَكَرْتُ لَكَ, and I have remembered you with zikr. I was reciting zikr for you, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah says, قَالَ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكُ وَتَعَالَى وَأَمَّا السَّلَاةُ فَلَكَ بُرْحَانٌ. As for your salat, as for your prayers, that is the proof of your iman. Again, my dear brothers and sisters, think about, you know, what iman should drive us into. Iman should, you know, motivate us towards salat. Here Hazrat Musa is saying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Musa that, O Musa, what you are claiming to be, that you have done it for me, was your salat. That salat was a proof of your iman. And then Allah continues and says, وَالصَّوْمُ جُنَّةٌ, and your fasting was your shield from the fire of hell. The fast that you were keeping. So on one side we are having this conversation between Allah and Musa, but at the same time you can see the results which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is directly telling Musa. Your salat is a proof of your iman. Your fast is a means of shielding you from the fire of hell. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues and says, وَصَدَّقَتُ ذِلٌّ, your charity is a shadow of my mercy. When you give charity, I am going to be more merciful because you have given in my name. And then Allah says, وَذِكْرُ نُورٌ, the zikr that you have uttered, the remembrance that you have uttered, is a light for you. So everything that we are doing, our salat, our psalm, our zakat, our charity, our zikr, these are all for our own good, my dear brothers and sisters, which is being mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly to Hazrat Musa here. Then Allah says, فَأَيُّ عَمَلٍ عَمِلْتَ لِي, Allah is asking Musa, which was the act that you have done only and only for me? To which Musa by this time is completely, you know, in a state of anxiety as to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from him. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قَالَ مُوسَى دُلَّنِي عَلَىٰ عَمَلِي أَلَّذِي هُوَ لَكَ, O Allah, O my Lord, tell me, show me what act that is for you that I should do. Which is that act that I should perform that is only and only for you? Because salat is for my iman. Psalm is myself saving from the fire of hell. Zakat is a means, charity is a means of attaining your mercy, you know, and so on and so forth, and zikr being a light for my own self. So what is the thing that you want from me, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If you tell me, I am going to perform that. This is what Hazrat Musa asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies, Qala, Ya Musa, hal walayta li waliyan wa hal adayta li aduwan khattum. O Musa, did you take a friend for my sake? And did you make an enemy for my sake? Meaning that did you love somebody for my sake And did you forsake somebody for my sake? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this, the riwayah continues and it says, فَعَلَمَ مُوسَىٰ أَنَّ أَفْضَلَ الْأَعْمَالِ الْحُبُّ فِي اللَّهِ وَالْبُغْضُ فِي اللَّهِ. From this Musa understood that the best action that we can perform, that is only and only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is the love that we have and for Allah, and the hate that we have, that also for Allah. A quick example, in the battle of Khandaq, Amr ibn Abdawat comes on the side of the trench and he is challenging the Muslims to come for the fight, for the duel. And the Muslims are fearful because he was one of the bravest persons of that time, Amr ibn Abdawat. And Amr ibn Abdawat is ridiculing Muslims by saying, why don't you come and fight with me? If you come and fight with me, and if you are able to kill me, then you are victorious. And if I kill you, then you are martyrs, you are going to go to heaven. So what is keeping you away from coming and fighting with me? And none of the companions of the Holy Prophet is having courage to go and fight with Amr ibn Abdawat. And every time Imam Ali stands up, and the Prophet of Allah says, no Ali, you wait. There should be somebody else who would want to go. But when there is no one, finally Imam Ali goes. And Imam Ali fights. I want to, you know, leave the details. And there is a point where Imam Ali is very close to finishing Amr ibn Abdawat. At that point, Amr ibn Abdawat spits at the face of Imam Ali. And the moment he does that, Imam Ali stands up and starts walking. And all the companions are scared and they are telling the Prophet of Allah, what has happened to Ali, O Prophet of Allah? Amr ibn Abdawat is such a strong man, and now Ali was able to almost go and kill him, and then when he spits on his face, he just walks off. What is going on? The Prophet of Allah says, when Ali comes back, you should ask him. And then after a while, Amr ibn Abdawat gets an opportunity, he stands up and there's a duel again, and finally Imam Ali finishes him. And when Imam Ali comes back victorious, Imam Ali is asked by the Prophet of Allah that, O Ali, what was the reason that you did what you did? Please recite a salawat. Imam Ali says that when I was so close to Amr ibn Abdawat and I wanted to finish him, he did what he did by spitting on my face. And at that moment, there was a brink of anger in me, which was for what has happened. And I did not want to kill him for the sake of anger that I have for him. I only want to kill him for the sake of Allah. So see how Ahlul Bayt has taught us, my dear brothers and sisters. Their every action was in the love of Allah, for Allah, for the sake of Allah, and their enmity and their hatred was also for the sake of Allah, not for their own self, even if they are angry. And this is what Quran says, and this is the reason. When I have compiled, so I have given you so many reasons for love, now you should appreciate why love is so important. And now you should appreciate what Prophet of Allah has asked us. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed the Prophet of Allah to ask us. Because this is the verse of Quran which I am going to recite. Recite a salawat. O Prophet, do not ask anything as a reward for the service that you are making. قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. Please share a salawat. I do not ask you of any reward for it except the love of my relatives. So this love of Ahlul Bayt, why the love of Ahlul Bayt is so important and why Prophet of Allah has not asked anything from his Ummah except for the love of Ahlul Bayt. And this was done by Prophet of Allah on the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is the verse of Holy Quran that I have recited. قُلْ لَا أَسَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهَ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمُوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. I do not ask you of any reward for the services that I have rendered being the Prophet of Allah, the message that I have brought in front of you, the message of Allah, the path of Allah, and for that I have borne so many hardships so that you can be on the path of Allah. And the only reward that I seek from you is the love for Ahlul Bayt. And how thankless the Ummah was, my dear brothers and sisters. The Prophet of Allah, every time he would walk from the house of Amir al-Mu'mineen, he would say salam. السلام عليك أهل بيت النبوة ومعدن الرسالة. The Prophet of Allah had always pointed to Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali and Hazrat Zahra and Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, and had showed that this is my Ahl al-Bayt. And when Hazrat Zahra would be in her home and the Prophet of Allah is sitting, and when Hazrat Zahra would come into the room, the Prophet of Allah would stand up in respect for this daughter that he had and make her sit in his place. And yet the Ummah, it did not take long for the Ummah to be thankless to the Prophet of Allah. When those who thought that they were the companions of the Holy Prophet, and therefore, because they did not reform their hearts, their love for coming into the fold of Islam was the love of dunya. When they saw that Islam is being victorious on every front, they realized that they cannot be outside of Islam and attain the power that they could if they enter into the ranks of Islam. So they penetrated into the ranks of Islam. These are the hypocrites. And now there comes a time when the Prophet dies. Even before the Prophet is buried, we see masayib after masayib on the family of Ahlul Bayt, to such an extent that the daughter of Rasulullah says, O Baba, O my father, after you I have faced so many masayib, I have faced so many challenges, that if this would have fallen upon the bright days, it would have turned into dark night. Meaning Hazrat Zahra was being tested so harshly, her rights were usurped, and Fadat was taken away from her, and then Imam Ali was sitting in his home and he was forced out of his home, and in the process Hazrat Zahra was martyred because she was defending the Waliullah, she was defending the decisive proof of Allah on earth by standing at the door. But the enemies of Islam would not wait. They kicked the door and put the door to fire, and they came inside, and Hazrat Zahra was martyred in this process. And the Prophet of Allah, it's only been 90 days that the Prophet of Allah had left this world, and we are seeing masayib on the holy Ahlul Bayt. And this masayib continues, and then there comes a time when Imam Ali is martyred. Imam Ali is martyred, and the sword of Ibn Muljim falls on Imam Ali, which is filled with poison, and Imam Ali is martyred in the masjid. And what does Imam Ali say?
Fustu wa Rabbil Kaaba. By the Lord of Kaaba, I am successful in this world. This is what Imam Ali is saying after he gets a strike of the sword in the masjid because he was praying during that time. And then no, it is not only Imam Ali, but it is also Imam Hassan. There comes a time when Imam Hassan is also given poison. And the one who gives poison to Imam Hassan is not somebody who was his enemy, but it was she was his own wife. And Imam Hassan has been given poison, and Imam Hassan is dying. Imam Hassan is on his deathbed, and he is vomiting blood. At that point, Imam Hussein comes, and Imam Hussein is crying for Imam Hassan. At that point, Imam Hassan says, "Oh my brother, please do not cry. Please do not cry. La yawmaka yawma ya Aba Abdullah. There is no day like your day. Oh Hussein, your day is going to be the biggest day and the most difficult day on earth," meaning Ashura. Ashura has arrived, my dear brothers and sisters. Ashura, tonight is Shab-e-Ashur. Tonight is the ninth of 10th Muharram, Tasua, and the plains of Karbala. The children are calling, Al-Atash, Al-Atash, Al-Atash. But nobody can bring water because the enemies of Islam have taken away for us the river which is gushing with water. The animals of Yazid can drink water, but the children of Hussein cannot drink water from Furat. Imam Hussein is with his companions, and there is an attack from the side of Umar ibn Sa'd, and Imam Hussein asked Hazrat Abbas to go and negotiate with Umar ibn Sa'd and tell him that tomorrow would be the final day. We will fight tomorrow, but please give us an opportunity that we pray tonight. Because Hussein loves praying to his Lord. Hussein wants to zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when this is done, Imam Hussein is praying and all his companions are praying. They are praying for the whole night. And the mothers of this young fighter, some of them are 9 years old, some of them are 13 years old, some of them are 18 years old, and yet all the mothers are reminding their sons that make sure that tomorrow the son of Fatima should be saved. You should be the first one to be martyred in the way of Allah. Layla is telling this to Ali Akbar. Zainab is telling this to Aun Muhammad. And Umm Farwa is telling this to Qasim. And they are preparing all their children. And on the other side, Ashab are also preparing themselves. In the night, Imam Hussein calls all his companions. And when he calls his companions, he shuts off the light or the lamp that existed there. But even before doing that, he says that you are the best companions that I had. Companions like you Allah did not give companions like you to my grandfather Rasulullah. Allah did not give companions like you to my father, to my brother Imam Hassan. You are the best companions that Allah has granted. But let me tell you that I am withdrawing my allegiance. I am withdrawing my allegiance from you. You can leave in the darkness of this night. These enemies of Islam want my flesh and blood. They are not your enemies. They are my enemies. So you should leave. My dear brothers, sisters, this is the night of Tasua. We have to reflect upon ourselves. We have to reflect upon our own sins, my dear brothers and sisters. And we have to recall our sins and seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah forgives us and makes us inspire from the teachings of Ahlul Bayt. If we move from tonight, this night is going to come after 1 year, my dear brothers and sisters. Please cry for Hussein and ease your pain for this world, because this world is going to go away, but the hereafter is going to last. And let us all seek the hereafter in which we will all be happy, because we would be the companions of Imam Hussein and the Ahlul Bayt. And here the companions of Imam Hussein are being told by Imam Hussein that you should leave, and if you are shy for leaving, then let me tell you, you can take one family member each from my family and leave, but you should leave in the darkness of the night. When the morning comes, these enemies of Islam are only after my blood, and I will be here, I am going to be here, but you should leave. What can the companions of Imam Hussein say? The companions of Imam Hussein start slapping their own faces. Imam Hussein says, if you are feeling shy, I will turn off this lamp. And in the darkness of the night, you don't have to see me, because when I turn off this light, you will not see me. So it will be easier for you to leave. Save yourself, save your life and go. But when the Imam lights it up again, he sees that none of them has left. And they are slapping their faces, and they are saying, oh Abu Abdullah, how can we leave you alone? What is life worth if you are not there? Life is not worth living after you, oh Abu Abdullah. And Zuhair Hussain says, oh Abu Abdullah, if we are killed 1,000 times, and we are brought to life, and we are burnt again, and still we would love you, and we will still fight for you, and we will fight in the way of Allah and give away our lives but not leave you. Imam Hussein had companions like this, my dear brothers and sisters, but these were elderly people, they were young people. But tonight we are going to talk about someone who is not someone who could even walk, my dear brother and sister. I am talking about Ali Asghar, the 6-month infant of Imam Hussein. This is a 6-month-old child. But when Imam Hussein asked for help, Hal min nasir yansurni, is there anyone to help me? At Imam Hussein calls for help at the time when everybody is gone. There is nobody in the camp of Imam Hussein to give his life for the sake of Islam. Ali Akbar is gone, Abbas is gone, Habib ibn Mazahir is gone, and all the ashab and companions of Imam Hussein are gone in the way of Allah. Imam Hussein is alone by himself, and there is a huge cry from the tent of Rabab, the mother of Ali Asghar. Imam Hussein inquires, what has happened? At that point, one of the ladies come and say, when you said, Hal min nasir yansurni, when you ask for help, O Imam, this 6-month-old baby of yours has come down from the cradle. He has thrown himself from the cradle. Imam Hussein tells Rabab, O Rabab, this is my son who is thirsty. When we are thirsty for 3 days, and my son is also thirsty, he is an infant. Let me take him to the side of the enemy and ask for water. It is possible that he might quench the thirst of my 6-month-old infant. What can Rabab do? Rabab becomes very hopeful, because Ali Asghar has already become very weak. Ali Asghar is very weak because there is no milk from the mother that Ali Asghar could drink, nor there is water available. Ali Asghar is as thirsty as Hussein, but Ali Asghar is too young to be so thirsty. Rabab becomes happy and she says, Oh my Lord, oh Imam, let me ensure that I change his clothes and I will comb him, because Ali Azhar, my child, is going for the first time to the battlefield. I want to make sure my child looks like a warrior. This is a 6-month-old warrior. Imam takes Ali Azhar into his arms, and Imam comes into the plains of Karbala. Because of the heat, Imam hides Ali Azhar into his abba. The enemy thinks, now that Imam Hussein has nobody to help him, he is bringing Quran, and he is going to ask intercession on behalf of Quran so that the enemy could spare his life. Enemy is thinking like this, but yet Imam Hussein was taking Quran. But this was the speaking Quran. This was the Quran in Natif. When Imam Hussein takes Ali Azhar to the battlefield and takes Ali Azhar out Ali Azhar from his abba, what they see is a 6-month-old infant who is very thirsty. Imam Hussein says, if in your eyes, if I have committed anything wrong, then this 6-month-old baby cannot do anything wrong. Why should this baby be so thirsty? Can you quench the thirst of this baby? When the Imam demands this, and the enemy realizes, and the enemy is thinking that maybe Imam wants water for himself. Imam says, if you think I'm going to drink the water for myself, I'm going to leave this baby on the ground and I will move away. If you feel that you should quench his thirst, Imam puts Ali Azhar on the ground and moves away and pauses for a moment to see if the enemy is going to quench the thirst of Ali Azhar. That does not happen. Imam takes Ali Azhar on his arms again and then tells Ali Azhar, oh Ali Azhar, I have made my case. Now you should make your case. What can Ali Azhar say? Ali Azhar cannot even speak, but Ali Azhar takes his tongue out and shows it on his lips. When the enemy sees that it's a child who is dying of thirst, the army starts crying. But Umar Saad realizes that there would be a mutiny in the army. And what Umar Saad does? Umar Saad orders Hurmala, Hurmala, Ista Kalamul Hussein, Hurmala, make sure Hussein is stopped. What does Hurmala do? Hurmala takes the arrow which he would use, the strongest arrow, and fires at Ali Azhar, and Ali Azhar turns upside down into the hands of Imam Hussein, and the blood gushes out from the neck of Ali Azhar. Imam Hussein is holding this blood in his hand, and Imam Hussein wants to throw this blood on the ground, but he hears the voice from the ground coming, oh Imam, if you throw this blood on the ground, then I will never raise a plant. A seed would never turn into a plant ever. Imam tries to throw this blood into the sky, but the sky also complains, saying, oh Imam, if the blood comes towards the sky, then I will never shower rain. What does Imam do? Imam takes the blood of Ali Azhar and he applies to his own face, and he says, on the day of judgment, I am going to meet my grandfather, Rasulullah, and my mother Zahra, and I will complain to my grandfather, oh grandfather, your ummah did not even leave my 6-month-old baby, Ali Azhar. Assalamu alaikum, Abu Abdullah. السلام عليك يا ابن رسول الله السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين سيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون والله because of the sacrifices that have been made by أهل البيت for the sake of Islam for ensuring humanity is shown the right path. Give us tawfiq that we truly follow the teachings of Ahlul Bayt and Imam Hussein.
and instill the true love of Ahlul Bayt in our hearts so that it should be the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is very challenging for our youngsters in this part of the world. Please help them to ensure that they could acquire virtuous qualities which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, which you want, O Allah, through the love of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. And make them aware of the presence of your decisive proof on earth, your hujjah on earth, the Imam of our time. Give them the marifah of the Imam of our age, and make us the true followers of the Imam of our age, and hasten his reappearance, inshallah. Please recite the Surah Fatiha for all the marhoon.
Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein. Inshallah, brothers, you can come more forward and join us to do, and please close the door over there. Please close the door, inshallah, and help us. Really appreciate it. Ya Rab, Ya Rab, Karbala is calling you and martyrdom has come. The pool of Kauthar's longing for you, stunned by what you've done. Ya Rab, Ya Rab, Karbala is calling you and martyrdom has come. The pool of Kauthar's longing for you, stunned by what you've done. My master's like nobody else. He leaves us all beside ourselves. He told us all that we could go, but who could leave him by himself? He blew out candles with his breath and told us all to flee from death. They wanted none but Prophet's son. They found his soldiers to instead. So here is old God and made plain, no matter what I will remain, I wish to die and live and die for you a million times for saying, you are my Kaaba and my soul, you are my Mina and my goal, you are my Safa and my sight, for you I live, for you all die. Hussein, the heavens turn for you, and tribunes are born for you. Courageous men and lads were made, in hopes they might be sworn for you. Courageous men and lads were made, in hopes they might be sworn for you. Ya Rab, Ya Rab, Karbala is calling you, and martyrdom has come. The pool of Kauthar's longing for you, stunned by what you've done. Ya Rab, Ya Rab, Karbala is calling you and martyrdom has come. The pool of Kauthar's longing for you, stunned by what you've done. The soldiers went out by one, now we'll be left before it's done. Hussein looked at Ali Akbar and knew the time for him had come. He watched his son go out to die. He fought before his father's eyes. He came back once before his death. The thirst was what he cried. But could it be that what he sought was just to say his last goodbye? Not water cool, not for his soul, but for his Baba Hussein's eyes. Oh Ali Akbar, let us see the face of truth and prophecy. Your smile's the universe to us, your eyes are paradise to me. But now his body lies there dead. I'm saying it's all just as he said. The one who looked just like Rasul, his turban's bloody on his head. The one who looked just like Rasul, his turban's bloody on his head. Ya Rab, Ya Rab, Karbala is calling you and martyrdom has come. The pool of Kaukas longing for you, son, by what you've done. Ya Rab, Ya Rab, Charubala is calling you and martyrdom has come. The pool of Kaukas longing for you, son, by what you've done.
Ya Hussein,
Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein. O Lord, we love them all who died in so much pain. O Lord, we love them all who died in so much pain. O Lord, peace be on them who are slain and slain and slain. O Lord, we love them all who died in so much pain. O Lord, peace be on them who are slain and slain and slain. On the day of Ashura, on the plains of Karbala, on the day of Ashura, on the plains of Karbala, stood my Imam so brave, stood my Imam so brave, in thirst and immense pain. O Lord, we love them all. O Lord, we love them all. Ali, who died in so, everybody. O Lord, we love them all. O Lord, we love them all. Who died the Savior of humanity, with a mission of dignity. Savior of humanity, with a mission of dignity. And down he laid his life, and down he laid his life, to glorify Allah's name. O Lord, we love them all. O Lord, we love them all. Who died in so much pain. The love of Mustafa, the pride of Fatima, the love of Mustafa, the pride of Fatima, the soul of Mawla Ali, the soul of Mawla Ali, is thy name Hussein, Hussein. O Lord, we love them all. Ali. O Lord, we love them all who died in so much pain. Praise be, O my Allah, for the children of Mustafa. Praise be, O my Allah, for the children of Mustafa. The mothers of Karbala, the mothers of Karbala, thy sisters Hussein, Hussein. O Lord, we love them all. O Lord, we love them all who died in so much pain. O youth of paradise, blessed is your sacrifice. O youth of paradise, blessed is your sacrifice. We gather again, again, we gather again, again, to mourn for you, Hussein. We
Lord, we love them all. Oh Lord, we love them all. Who died in so much pain. Oh Lord, peace be on them. Oh Lord, peace be on them. Who was slain and slain and slain. Oh youth of paradise, blessed is your sacrifice. Oh youth of paradise, blessed is your sacrifice. We gather again, again. We gather again, again. To mourn for you we say. Oh Lord, we love them all. Oh Lord, we love them all. Who died in so much pain. Oh Lord, peace be on them. Oh Lord, peace be on them. Who was slain and slain and slain. Oh Lord, we love them all. Yahushain. Yahushain.
Maybe one street. Is maybe here.
Ya Hussein. Ya Hussein. Ya Hussein. Ya Hussein. Ya Hussein. Ya Hussein.
Ya Hussein. Ya Hussein. Al-Atash. Al-Atash. Cried the children of Hussein. Al-Atash. Al-Atash. Cried the children of Hussein. On the day of Ashura. On the plains of Karbala. On the day of Ashura, on the plains of Karbala, Al-Atash, cried the children of Hussein. Al-Atash, cried the Israel of Hussein. To the land of Karbala, goes the caravan of Hussein. To the land of Karbala, goes the caravan of Hussein. Glorified is Karbala, with thy sacrifice Hussein. Al-Atash, cried the children, everybody.
Hussein.
Al-Atash, cried the children of Hussein. On the day of Ashura, on the day of Karbala, thirst they cannot tolerate, cried Sakina bint Hussein. Thirst they cannot tolerate, cried Sakina bint Hussein. Abbas puts his life at stake for the children of Hussein. Al-Atash, cried the children of Hussein. Al-Atash, cried the children of Hussein. On the day of Ashura, on the plains of Karbala, on the day of Ashura, on the plains of Karbala, young and handsome like Rasul, Akbar the son of Hussein, young and handsome like Rasul, Akbar the son of Hussein, dies with his tearing heart, cried Zainab aloud in pain. Al-Atash, cried the children of Hussein. Al-Atash, cried the children of Hussein. On the day of Ashura, on the plains of Karbala, on the day of Ashura, on the plains of Karbala, Al-Atash,
Al-Atash. Ya Hussein.
Brothers, sisters, before we close, before we end this program, there was supposed to be a dusta going from here to the main hall, but unfortunately we're running late today due to the fundraising that was happening in the other hall. So inshallah, after you close the program, you're welcome to go to any other program, but please don't be in the hallways talking to each other because you're disturbing other programs, inshallah. So please either go to Urdu, Arabic, or English.
As-salamu alayki ya Aba Abdullah wa ala arwahi allati halat fi thina'ik. عليك مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين وعلى جميع شهداء كربلاء خصوصا أبا الفضل العباس. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليك يا غريب الغرباء. السلام عليك يا معين الضعفاء والفقراء. السلطان أبا الحسن علي بن موسى الرضا المرتضى. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليك يا إمام العصر والزمان. الأمان الأمان الأمان. السلام عليك يا خليفة الرحمن. السلام عليك يا شريك القرآن. السلام عليك يا مهدي. أدركنا 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 أجلك الله يا بقية الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات رحم الله من يقرأ الفاتحة مع الإخلاص مع الصلوات.
If anybody's interested in a donation form, I have them, inshallah. Don't forget to donate heavily.